Take your Bibles with me and turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. The Lord has His ways to keep us humble. And I like to think that I'm an organized person. And the Lord reminds me that without Him, I'm nothing, right? That's true for all of us, John 15:5. Without Him, we are nothing. James 4, verse 6 says, "But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." You see, if we're proud, God resists us. Now, it's one thing to have a person resist you, but I don't want to have God resisting me. God resisteth the proud, but you know, we're supposed to do some resisting ourselves. Look down at verse number 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." This morning and in some future messages, I want to talk to our church about overcoming temptation. I'm calling it the concept of deliverance. Overcoming temptation. Did you know that most of the Bible is written for you after you're saved? Now, there's some in the Bible for people who are not saved to show them how they can receive Christ as their Savior, and it's very important. But after you're saved, the whole Bible opens up to you. Most of the Bible is written for us after we're saved. In 2 Peter 2:9, it says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations." Aren't you glad that God knows how to deliver us out of temptations? He knows how. We've got to learn how. And He told us how in His Word. One of the key places that the Bible gives us a principle for overcoming temptation is right here in verse number 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Resist. Resist. How does a Christian see victory over temptation? How does the Lord deliver us out of temptations? There are many answers to that question, but one of the plainest answers is right here in chapter 4, verse 7. Resist! Resist! It's a practical command. We're tempted. When we're tempted, one of the things we do is pray. That's good. Okay, I'm not going to talk against that. It's fine. When the devil tempts you to say, "No, Lord, don't let me do this. Don't let me fall into this temptation." But it's possible to pray, "Lord, don't let me do it," and then go ahead and do it anyway, isn't it? Because you've got to resist. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When we're tempted, it's good to quote Scripture. That's what Jesus did. But you know, I could be tempted and quote off a Bible verse and then just go ahead and do the sin anyway. Because I've got to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When we're tempted, we've got to rely on the Holy Spirit. I understand that. We can't do it in our own strength. But James is a very practical book, and he simply says, resist. Resist. You want victory over sin? Resist. Think about James. Some of you have read the book of James, a very practical book in the Bible. Let me ask this Bible-oriented congregation, is salvation by faith or by works? By faith. Okay, is it by faith alone? Yes, it is. By faith alone, by grace alone. Okay, it's not by works at all. When you read the book of James, it is so practical that if you're not careful, you could get confused and think that works are involved in salvation. But if you read carefully, you'll notice James says, "You show me, you say you have faith. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works." Now, works are not involved in saving us. But James teaches that someone who's really saved is going to want to do those good works. And the good works are going to show our testimony. It'll show other people that we're saved. Somebody could be saved and without good works, you don't know it. You know, I wonder if that person's really saved. Yeah, because the only way they can show it is by their good works. And so James is very practical. He says, "Listen, you say you're saved. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." He just gets down to brass tacks. He said, "Listen, if we're saved, let's live like it." In the same way when it comes to temptation. You know, in Romans we have all the deep theology. You know, we're dead to sin, so we don't have to do it. And rely on the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit and He'll help you. And all these things are true. But James just gets practical and he says, listen, you want to overcome sin? Resist. Resist. Just get serious about it and resist. If we resist the devil, the Bible says in verse 7, he will do what? Flee from us. Look, I'm not stronger than the devil. I can't get him to run away. But God will put him to flight for me if I just simply resist. If I just put up some resistance and just say, no, I'm not going to do it. The Bible gets real practical here and says resist. It's a practical command. Number two, it's a personal commitment. It's a personal commitment. Sometimes the victory that we're seeking seems so elusive. Maybe you think, you know, I've been saved for so many years and I'm still struggling with the same thing. And it's a battle. The temptations are strong. They're hard on us. It's elusive sometimes. The practical command says resist, but there needs to be the personal commitment. There needs to be that personal commitment where we say, okay, Lord, I can't do it on my own. I understand that, but Lord, I'm going to resist. I'm going to do what you said in James 4:7. I'm going to resist. This word comes up 14 times in our Bibles. 9 times it's translated resist. 5 times it's translated withstand. Ye shall be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked. In Ephesians 6, take the armor of God and then you can withstand, you can resist the devil. It means to set oneself against. Take that area of temptation in your life and set yourself against it. Say, you know what? I'm going to stop calling it just a little thing or saying that's just the way I am or everybody does it or that's just not me. I'm going to stop all that and I'm going to set myself against it. Lord, this is wrong. You say it's wrong. I agree with you. You help me, Lord. I'm going to resist. Get that gumption about you. Again, it's not our own strength, but James is practical, and he says, without us resisting, the temptation is going to flood in upon us once again. It's got to be a personal commitment. Maybe you have the temptation to get upset at another Christian. Resist. Maybe you have the temptation to hold a grudge. Resist. Maybe you have a temptation to do drugs. Resist. Resist. Maybe there's the temptation to smoke cigarettes. Resist. You know, the public schools actually had something right when they came out with the Just Say No policy. Remember that? Just Say No. Now, again, it doesn't work without the Lord. But sometimes as Christians, we need to just say no. We just say, no, I'm not going to do that, devil. Put up some resistance and then the devil will flee from you. Your neighbor leaves something on the property line and you're tempted to take it. Resist. Your wife tries to engage you in an argument, man. Resist. Resist. Men, start to maybe belittle their wife, and the wife wants to lash back. Resist. Resist. You want to yell at your kids. They're getting under your skin. They know just the buttons to push, don't they? Resist. Resist. Maybe it's a temper situation, and you lose your temper, and you feel it welling up within you. Yes, pray. Yes, quote Scripture. But then you got to resist. You got to say, I'm not going to get upset. You've got to resist. The temptation to maybe just down one beer. Oh, it's only one. Just go ahead. It's not going to hurt. Resist. The temptation to taste wine at your unsaved family's Christmas gathering. Everybody else is doing it. Resist. Resist. The temptation to leave the TV on when the show unexpectedly turns bad. You want to see what happens. Who cares what happens? Resist. Resist. Don't watch wickedness. Resist. The temptation to look at that immodest billboard. Resist. The temptation to go with old friends that always seem to get you in trouble. Resist. Lord, I'm not going today. Tell your friend, oh, come on, come on. No, I'm not going. Oh, what's the matter? Are you getting all spiritual on us? Yeah, maybe I am. I'm not going. Okay, resist. Resist. That's what James says. It takes personal commitment. You've got to get some fire under you about it. Why is it that we're defeated by the same sin over and over again? And we pray about it, and we're still defeated. Maybe you memorize a verse about it, and you're still defeated. Maybe the ingredient that's missing is resistance. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The book of James is not alone in this concept. Turn with me to 1 Peter. It's right on the next page or so. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 warns us of the devil. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So what should we do about this lion? Should we shoot him? Should we call the zoo? What should we do about him? Look at verse 9. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." You guys are laughing at shooting him. We had a wild pig out by our house on Ullman Street, and we'd drive by and almost for a couple days in a row, we kept seeing him. And then we drove by one day, and we had the camera. And so my wife stopped, and the boys were taking, I wasn't with them, the boys were taking pictures of the wild pig, and they saw two guys, and when they pulled up in the car to take pictures, those guys were holding something behind their back. And as they pulled away, they realized the guys had a gun. I don't know, maybe it was a stun gun, I don't know what, but I think after that, we haven't seen the wild pig. So I think they did him in. They poached him, probably. Maybe they poached him. Maybe they had a license. I don't know. But it was right before Thanksgiving, so maybe they had pig instead of turkey for Thanksgiving. I don't know. But you're laughing when I said shoot him. Right, we can't shoot the devil, okay? We can't shoot him like they did to that pig. What can we do? Look at the next verse. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." Whom resist? You resist the devil, and that will make you steadfast. It'll make you strong in the faith. It'll keep you from falling. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Okay? Other people, other Christians are going through the same thing as you are, and they've seen victory. You're not alone. Sometimes we think, well, I've got it worse than anybody else. I'm the only one going through this temptation. Lord, you're making it rougher on me than anybody else. No, other people are going through the same thing. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You say, well, what's the way to escape? Resist! Resist! There's some other ways of escape, and we'll look at them in the weeks ahead. But one of the main ways is resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It takes personal commitment. It takes, on our part, a commitment to God to say, "Now, Lord, I know I can't do it on my own, but before you, I'm committing, and I'm saying, Lord, with your help, this sin's going to be out of my life. Take over, Lord. I'm going to resist." Then lastly, I see in chapter 4 and verse 7 of James, a promise claimed. A promise claimed. I don't know if it hits you, but this verse is a promise. "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I look at that as a promise. God's telling me, look, you don't have to be defeated anymore by that temptation. You don't have to give in to what the devil wants you to do. You resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I claim it as a promise. I say, okay, Lord, I'm not very strong in my resistance, but I'm just going to do what you said. You said resist, and then the devil will leave me alone. So when I sense the temptation, when I feel that urge, that pull to do something wrong, we just resist. Best we know how. We say, Lord, I don't want to do that. Get out of here, devil. Get out of here, temptation. Get out of here, world. Get out of here, flesh. And then trust God to put the devil to flight, because he promised that he would. Now, it's apparent in verse 7 here that resisting the devil also includes submitting to God. Submitting to God. You've noticed that, haven't you, as I read the verse? Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. A lot of times, the reason that there's still sin that we're not overcoming in our life is because we're not submitting to God. We really don't want what He wants. You see, the victory is provided. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried, took our sins with Him. He rose again, conquering our sins. The victory is already provided. Do we really want it? Are we willing to submit to God? See, the problem is sometimes we love our sin too much. We like that ungodly TV series. We like that worldly music. We like to be able to blow off some steam and lose our temper because it makes us feel relieved that I just finally let it out. Hey, wait a second. We've got to submit to God. We've got to say, Lord, You said it's wrong in the Bible. I'm going to agree with You. We submit to God and resist the devil. There's no resistance if we're not submitting to God. And a lot of times the key is that submission. Let's get honest with ourselves. Are we really submissive to God in these areas in our life? Or would we rather just kind of hold on to it? You know, Lord, I'm a pretty good Christian. I go to church and I try to treat people right. And I don't know why You keep putting Your finger on this sin, Lord. It's not that big of a deal. Wait a minute. We've got to submit to God. We've got to agree with what He says in His Word and say, Lord, You're the boss. I'll do what You say. Submit to God, then we resist the devil. And submission is often the real issue. Now, the reason submission is required is for the very reason that we cannot resist the devil in our own strength. I've said that a number of times. I heard this verse preached one time in such a way, and I went out of that service thinking, okay, I can resist the devil. Well, the truth is, in our own strength, we can't. But we take the step in faith. We say, Lord, I don't see how I can resist, but You told me to. And You wouldn't have commanded me to do anything that You wouldn't empower me to do. So, Lord, I'm going to trust that You're empowering me right now to resist this temptation, and I'm not going to do it. And you take the step of faith to resist, and then He carries you the rest of the way. It's not in our own strength. It's submission to God and then the resistance. I like to compare it to a hot air balloon. You can watch a hot air balloon and just watch it soar. I remember up in Michigan, every year they would have, at Battle Creek, Michigan, they'd have the Hot Air Balloon Festival. I don't know, you Michigan people, have you ever seen that? Okay, you maybe heard it advertised. And it was spectacular. I'll tell you, you went and there were, I don't want to exaggerate, but I'd say probably 100, maybe more, of these huge hot air balloons. And if you get there early in the morning, you see them blowing them up and then hooking up the basket and everything and tying it down so it doesn't take off till it's time. And then the pilot would get in there and they'd take off, some of them at the same time but not too close where they bump into each other. And those things are just beautiful, just watching them soar and watching them float. You can watch balloons soar. But wouldn't it be neat if somebody said, hey, you want to ride? Oh, man, I would love that. You know, people pay good money to ride in hot air balloons. I was at one tourist attraction where people were paying $50 to get in the basket, and then they kept it connected to the rope, and they would just let the balloon up a certain number of feet, and then they'd pull it back down, and the people would get out. And they were paying $50 a person to do this. And I thought, man, now, $50 maybe to go up and actually go somewhere in the balloon. That would be cool. But wouldn't it be something if you were at the balloon festival and you were watching them going up and somebody says, hey, you want to take a ride with me? Yeah. How am I going to get back? Oh, don't worry. We'll have a truck there. We'll bring you back. All right. Yeah. Man, that'd be great. And to be up in that balloon and just to be able to soar. Maybe you think, I want to ride and I'm not invited. I want to go purchase a ticket. I want to go buy me a ticket. I don't care if it costs $50. I want to soar in a hot air balloon. I want to see what it's like. I want to experience that. I'm going to purchase the ticket. And you might go to that booth, pay your money, And then you go over to the basket and you think, that little basket's got to carry me way up there. And there's nothing attached. I mean, what if there's a hole in the balloon? Or, you know, what if the flamethrower runs out of fuel and we crash? And even though you got the ticket, or even though you're invited, and even though you enjoy seeing the balloon soar, you're not going to soar until you step in the basket, right? And even after you step in the basket, it's not all over. Because you can always chicken out before they cut the rope and say, hey, let me out, let me out. I don't want this anymore. And you got to stay in that basket. Listen, resisting the devil is kind of like stepping into the Lord's basket. Hey, some of us are maybe at the spot where we see other Christians and we see them soaring. We see them having victory over temptation and God using their life. And they can look down on the problems of life and think, yeah, life is rough, but the Lord's given me victory. And it's a wonderful life to live for God. And we can look at other Christians up there and think, I'd like to do that. You got to get in the basket. You got to resist. And maybe, you know, maybe you bought the ticket. You know, you've been saved, okay? You're saved. You know you're on your way to heaven. You're on that heaven train, you know, and you know you got the ticket. You're all set. But God wants to give you victory right now. You got to get in the basket. And then after you step in the basket, you got to stay in the basket. Sometimes in the morning when I'm having my prayer time, I say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. Take me wherever you want me to go. Let me soar to new heights if you want, Lord. But let me stay in the basket. By the way, once you're soaring, stepping out of the basket's pretty dangerous, isn't it? Okay? And that's why some Christians crash and burn. Because they start out so well, they're trusting God, they're resisting the devil, they're in the basket, but then they start trusting themselves. Remember Peter? He stepped out of the boat, was walking on water, then he started trusting himself and looking around, and he began to sink. Keep your eyes on the Lord, and you keep soaring. But what I want to show you today is resisting the devil is kind of like getting into that basket. I've got to take that step. Now, the Lord's going to take me to new heights. He's going to be the one that gives the victory. But I got to resist. I got to at least get in the basket. I got to take it seriously and say, God, I've got to see some victory over these areas in my life. And then he's the one that allows us to soar above the temptations of sin and above this wicked world. I love that song, Higher Ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. How do you get to that higher ground? How do you grow as a Christian? You resist the devil. You resist. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Oh, Christian, stop living a defeated Christian life. Stop giving in to the temptations that the devil brings your way. And instead, resist. Resist.